I think having a plan with your coach or whoever you're working with is important, and keeping the weight loss, if it's possible, around less than 5% of your body weight, because greater than 5% is when you typically start to see a lot of the more significant changes happening, both psychologically and physiologically. So if that's possible, that can be something else to take into account. And keeping those weight loss goals more realistic. So again, less than that 5% is realistic for most people.
Hi, Izzy. It's my pleasure to have you on Evidence Strong Show. If you could briefly introduce yourself.
Hi, Alex. Thank you so much for having me. I'm a first-year PhD student at the University of Toronto in Canada, and I previously completed my bachelor's degree in psychology, which is what got me into the field of exercise and psychology and how those two things intersect. I also am a powerlifter and have been powerlifting for about 5 or 6 years now, and it was really this interest in lifting and feeling good about myself and my mental health that got me into the field of kinesiology, where I'm currently doing my PhD.
We are talking about weight cutting and body image. Why this is the topic you chose for this paper and for your work?
Yeah, great question. So before I started doing my master's thesis, I had competed a couple times in powerlifting, and I started to lose weight for competitions in order to make a lower weight class. And I noticed that it's a fun process. It's a challenging process. It's a rewarding process. But anecdotally, there was a lot of psychological things that were going on for me personally, and also people that I had talked to who went through the process of losing weight for a competition. And when I decided to start my master's, I was very interested in the psychological changes that were potentially happening for people who were losing weight while preparing for a competition. And when I started to look into the scientific literature, I noticed that a lot of the research was more focused on physiological changes, which is valid. And we want to know how the body reacts to such a stressful event and how it affects performance, which is all things people would want being an athlete. But I felt that the psychological aspect was missing from the literature. And although there may not be a direct link currently between psychology and performance, I felt that there was merit to studying this. So I wanted to add to the literature by looking at the psychological changes. That was something that interested me from an anecdotal perspective to begin with. So my own experiences is what got me interested, and then seeing the gap in the literature and being able to fill that gap and start that process continue to drive the research forward.
Excellent. We need research in this area. The audience of this podcast had an opportunity to listen to Jordan Dra Cruz, who was exactly describing what you said. She was talking about there is the physiological side, but there is a mental side to the cutting weight process too. So how did you go about designing this study?
Yeah, so taking a look at the literature, there was a couple descriptive studies that had recently come out before I started my master's thesis, and they described the timelines that people typically follow when they are preparing for competition. So just understanding the typical length of time that powerlifters take to lose weight, so that I could start to gauge like how long do I need to be looking at this process and what the timeline would look like. That was sort of how we started to develop the methods for the study and the design, knowing that we wanted it to be a longitudinal study, so looking at multiple time points, and also knowing that we needed to start far enough in advance so that people probably hadn't already started cutting weight. So keeping all those things in mind, and then also looking at the International Powerlifting Federation rules around weight loss and registering for competitions. We kept those in mind as well. That brought our start time to about 9 weeks before competition. And then from there, we measured all of the measures were taken every 3 weeks leading up to competition. So one measure at 9 weeks, one measure at 6 weeks. When 6 weeks was about when most people reported starting to significantly lose weight for competition. And then one measure at 3 weeks, which is at the time when I was conducting the study, that was when the International Powerlifting Federation had set the deadline. you can't change your weight class after the 21-day mark. So we figured that would be a good time to capture if people were panicking and changing their weight class or if they were still set on being in that weight class. And then we tried to get as close to the competition day as possible, but also without trying to disrupt the athlete on the actual competition day. So we measured or asked them to report 24 hours before their competition. And then it's reported in the literature that most powerlifters gain about 50% of the weight that they've cut back about a week after competition. So we also captured that at 1 week mark. In hindsight, I wish we would have went a little bit further, but trying to reduce participant burden as much as possible while still collecting data. So yeah, that's how we just developed this. There are five time points, four of them were before competition.
Who did you invite to the study?
So we decided to focus on female powerlifters over the age. They had to be at least 18 years or older. We didn't put an upper age limit on it, knowing that there's also master's powerlifters, which I was able to actually capture a master's powerlifter as well. And so no upper age limits, and they had to be for anticipating to lose weight for competition. That was one of the criteria. And they also had to be competing within an international powerlifting federation competition between the months of, when did we do data collection? August and December of 2023. So any time point in between there. So I had people kind of all over the place starting at various times. And I was just keeping track of them as they were going through the data collection phase. Even if, trying to think back. Yeah, those were the inclusion criteria. They could be from anywhere in the world. That was the other thing too. So as long as they were part of the International Powerlifting Federation, it didn't matter where in the world they were planning on competing or where they were currently training. So I did have a couple international powerlifters in the sample as well. So it was nice to get a range of competitors. After we went through the entire data collection phase, I was able to use data from 12 female powerlifters in the sample. The average amount of weight loss throughout the, I'm going to talk about those like first 9 weeks leading up to competition, was about 3.5 kilos on average from 9 weeks out of competition. So that was roughly about what would be expected in the literature from other studies on powerlifters reporting weight loss. We had people from Canada, people from the US, some people were from Europe, Australia, and someone from Mexico as well. So there was quite a broad range of countries, which was quite nice. And like I said, people were competing at the regional level, the national level, and also the international level. So a broad range of competitors at different levels. And some people had never lost weight for a competition before. And some people had done this upwards of 10 to 15 times.
Awesome. So 12 females, and then you put them through some battery of tests. So what did you measure?
Yes. So there was 3 measures for body image. And these were 1 measure for positive body image, which is body appreciation, was the scale that we used. And this just measures general appreciation of the overall health, appearance, function of the body. The other 2 measures were trying to tap into the more negative side of body image. So whether or not people were currently satisfied or dissatisfied with their weight, we thought that was important since this was a study about weight loss and cutting weight. And then also whether or not people were satisfied or dissatisfied with the shape of their body. So getting at the difference between weight and shape. And then the 4th measure was specifically for well-being. So just general feeling and functioning well in everyday life. So those were the 4 measures that were completed at every single time point in the study. We asked people to report their body weight on each of the days when they were completing all of the other measures. We didn't give any specific instructions about how people should be weighing themselves. And we wanted to try to do this to make it as relative and relevant to the participant as what they would do when they were preparing for a competition. So personally for me, I try to make my times when I weigh in as similar to when I compete or what time I will be competing. So we didn't want to limit people and say, oh, you have to take your weight in the morning or you have to take your weight in the evening, in case that wasn't relevant to what their personal preparation for competition was. So we asked people to just report their body weights, knowing that it was a subjective measure. However, we did correlate it with their actual official weigh-in on at the day of competition. So 24 hours before and then official competition weight were correlated, just so we can get more of a subjective and objective correlation. And they were almost perfectly correlated. So I do believe that people were telling me their actual body weight throughout the entire duration of the study, which was great.
Would you be able to tell us what have you found in the study?
Yes, definitely. I guess that's some of the important stuff to know. So what was found was that obviously people did lose weight over time between that 9-week mark leading up to competition until the day of competition. And people were more satisfied with their weight as weight decreased, which is to be expected. We also found that there was improved well-being as body weight decreased. And then, which was sort of the opposite of what I had hypothesized and what was expected from the literature. And we can talk about that as well a little bit more. And then for the other two measures, there was no significant changes. So no significant changes for body appreciation, didn't increase or decrease significantly. And same for shape satisfaction. So even though they were losing weight, those measures did not necessarily change. The weight satisfaction one makes sense that it was increasing, people became more satisfied. The well-being one was an interesting one to think about, why people would generally feel better and be functioning better going through such a difficult process, especially when a lot of the literature shows people feel more stressed, angry, fatigued, especially weight class athletes. A lot of the literature is in combat sport athletes. So they typically have these more negative mood states as they're losing weight for competition. So it was interesting to see that well-being improved, but we did find some data to possibly support why this might have been happening in relation to goal setting. So this was also something that wasn't measured, but it seems that a lot of weight class athletes in qualitative literature feel quite proud of themselves when they achieve their weight loss goal and actually make weight for competition, which could be contributing to the fact that people are actually feeling better and their well-being is improving. So they're working towards a goal to make weight. They're also working towards their goals of how much they want to lift and how training is going. So I didn't really measure any of those performance indicators or performance factors because this was mostly focused on the psychological aspects. But I think that would be an interesting future direction to see if those are correlated and if there's any relevance to well-being changing while your performance is increasing, decreasing, and while your weight is also changing. Because I think all those factors definitely play a role in the entire preparation for competition.
The question was, could we speculate a little bit on why the well-being of the athletes at the competition was better than when they started? So were there any things they did with the food, up in quality, for example, because they couldn't have the calories, they couldn't sleep, I don't know.
Reading about athletes talking about their weight loss journeys. Yes, it's challenging. Yes, there's a lot of drawbacks and things don't always go the way that they want them to, but they do really focus on the quality of their food. They focus on the quality of their sleep. They focus on social interactions that are the most meaningful to them because obviously maybe going out for dinner and having a big meal like that is not the most in line with the goal of weight loss, but they try to find those other social interactions that are meaningful and will be able to still keep them on the path of losing weight and cutting weight appropriately. So getting the most meaning out of their social interactions during this time, and really just focusing on that main goal of losing weight for competition. Also, if training is going well during this time, I think you're so focused on your performance as well as the athlete. Like, that's the main goal going into the competition. Not only do you want to make weight, but you want to also optimize your performance at a lower body weight. So if training is going well and you are seeing those improvements as you are preparing for competition, I think that's going to make a huge impact on how you are feeling because you feel like everything you're doing is now trending in the exact direction that you want it to be going.
How about the week after?
I did just look at the descriptive statistics of the post-competition time, just to out of curiosity to see. And people actually did increase their weight. So from 24 hours before competition, the 1 week after competition, there was about a 50% increase in weight. And most of the measures, if you're just looking at them from like a graph level descriptive, there was no statistic that went into this, but just looking at the trends, most of the measures for most people completely went in the opposite direction. So if they had been feeling, if their well-being had been improving up until competition, at that like comp or 24 hours before and 1 week after, the trend switched. It wasn't meaningful enough to be looked at with analyses, but I could see that there were changes happening. So it was interesting to see that, but unfortunately not able to statistically analyze it.
So in weightlifting, we sometimes speak about post-competition blues. So this kind of mental, maybe exhaustion, maybe it's, I don't know, some things didn't go well, or, you know, you don't feel great a few days after the competition. Do you think it's similar in powerlifting?
Yes, I have heard people talk about this in powerlifting as well. And just from my own personal experience, sometimes the week after competition, like you don't even want to go to the gym. You don't want anything to do with it. And I think a lot of those really foundational habits that you had been undertaking through those weeks leading up to your competition, it's almost like you just want to let everything go down the drain and just maybe be the least organized and rigid version of yourself so that you can just relax. And I think this is where some of the psychological changes really come into play. You start getting into conversations about like poor eating habits, which can come into play, especially in that like 1 week post-competition after potentially being restrictive during for such a long period of time. So I think a lot of that definitely comes into play. And I can't say that that's what was happening for sure, but I think there's definitely something.
From what you've read and what your study brought to us, would you have a few pointers for the athletes how to navigate the process of weight cutting if they choose to do so? How to end up with higher well-being at the end of the process than at the beginning?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's important to have take-home messages and something that is easily or hopefully applied to everyday life. So I would say the biggest thing is gradual weight loss over a very short burst of weight loss. So the study was 9 weeks leading up to competition. And there is also recommendations in the literature to focus on like at least a 6 week weight loss practice prior to competition. So I think gradual weight loss, if you're able to plan for it and prepare for it, will be helpful to mitigate some of the psychological and definitely the physiological concerns. I think having a plan with your coach or whoever you're working with is important, and keeping the weight loss, if it's possible, around less than 5% of your body weight, because greater than 5% is when you typically start to see a lot of the more significant changes happening, both psychologically and physiologically. So if that's possible, that can be something else to take into account. And keeping those weight loss goals more realistic. So again, less than that 5% is realistic for most people. In this study, people lost around 3-4% on average of their body weight. So that could also be playing into why well-being increased, because it wasn't an unmanageable goal to reach. Whereas if you're trying to go for 8-10%, that can be a lot more difficult and maybe have more implications.
Awesome. So realistic goals, longer cuts, longer in weeks, not in days. Anything else?
Yeah. And just I guess that goes back into the realistic goals of setting a manageable weight loss goal.
Awesome. Oh, having help. You mentioned that. Okay, three things then. Awesome. Two short questions to finish. The first one is, what is your favorite lift?
My favorite lift is the bench press. Might be a little controversial, but I think it is the most technical lift out of the three for powerlifting, in my opinion.
Awesome. And where people can find you online if they want to follow your work or ask a question, where should they go?
Yes. So my powerlifting Instagram is StrongerWithIT, and that is where I post research studies that are being done in our lab, research findings, and then also just general day in, day out powerlifting in the gym. So that's the best place to find me.
Awesome, Izzy. Thank you so much for today. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Alex. Have a great day.